Hebrews chapter 9, and we want to be looking at verses 11 through 18 in our message this evening. In case you haven't figured it out, this is not the simplest section in the Bible to understand, and yet we're going to go through it because it was given to us to study. We're looking at the topic that the types of the first covenant, that's the law, are fulfilled by the offering of Christ's blood in the heavenly sanctuary. Chapter 9 continues the section in the book of Hebrews, which began in 8:1 and continues through 10:18, where Christ is seen as the mediator of a better covenant. In verses 1 through 10, we have already seen that the ordinances of divine service of the first covenant, that's the law, were types of what would come later. I remind you that a type is a divinely prefigured illustration of a spiritual truth. In verses 11 through 28, it is shown that the types of the first covenant were fulfilled by the offering of Christ's blood in the heavenly sanctuary. In this verse, we'll be considering verses 11 through 18. We will see, in contrast to the high priests of the Levitical system, that Christ is a high priest of things to come, which pertain to the new covenant and heavenly sanctuary. Accordingly, he entered once into the sanctuary and obtained eternal redemption for believers. We will also see that his offering will cleanse the believers' consciences from dead works and enable them to serve the living God. In addition, we will see that Christ is the mediator of the new covenant, enabling those who are called to receive the promise of eternal inheritance. This necessitated his death by the shedding of his blood to dedicate the new covenant. We see that in verses 16 through 23, but in this message we'll only be looking at verses 16 through 18. As we begin in verse 11, we see that in contrast to the high priests of the Levitical system, Christ is the high priest of things to come, which pertain to the new covenant and the heavenly sanctuary. Verse 11 forms a contrast to verses 9 and 10. And of course, this contrast is introduced by the word but. But Christ, becoming an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Christ's being come suggests after or because Christ appeared as or came as. And what Christ appeared as or came as is an high priest of good things to come. Now, these good things are not to come from here on in the future, but they have already come. It is the coming good things, which of course began with the cross. Good things to come refers to the things of the second tabernacle, meaning the heavenly sanctuary by which salvation has been provided. Christ is not a high priest in accordance with the things of the first tabernacle, meaning of the earthly tabernacle constructed by Moses. Instead, he is a high priest of the heavenly tabernacle. The good things to come are those things which pertain to the new covenant rather than to the old covenant. Remember that the old covenant is the law. Remember also that the new covenant took place when the veil in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. By a greater and more perfect tabernacle is by or through the greater and more perfect tabernacle. It is speaking of the heavenly sanctuary or tabernacle that is greater and more perfect than the earthly one, which was in use beginning in the days of Moses. The greater and more perfect tabernacle is described as not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Not made with hands suggests not made with human hands, and not of this building suggests not of this creation, which refers to the world. By contrast, the earthly tabernacle was made with hands and was of this world. As we go on in verse 12, we see that Christ entered once into the sanctuary and obtained eternal redemption for believers. Verse 12 goes on to describe the sacrificial system found in the new tabernacle. It is the greater and more perfect tabernacle. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Neither means and not, or nor. It introduces additional comments regarding Christ and his high priesthood. Neither by the blood of goats and calves is neither through the blood of goats and calves or by means of the blood of goats and calves. It shows the means by which Jesus did not enter the heavenly sanctuary. You will remember that the priests, in the Old Testament, when they would go into the sanctuary, they would have blood to offer as a sacrifice. This blood came from goats and calves. But Jesus is not that kind of priest. And the blood he offered was his own blood, which he shed for your sins and mine, but indicates a contrast and introduces the means by which Jesus did enter the heavenly sanctuary. It is by his own blood. By is used in the sense of by means of. His own blood is in contrast to the blood of animals by which the earthly high priest entered the earthly holy of holies. He refers to Christ. Entered is simply went in. Once is once for all time. He didn't do this repeatedly like they did in the Old Testament. He did it once for all time. And where Jesus entered was into the holy place, meaning into the sanctuary, and it is referring to the heavenly sanctuary. The tense of having obtained eternal redemption indicates that its action occurred prior to or before the action of entered. It suggests that he obtained eternal redemption for believers at the cross before he entered into the holy place in heaven. Redemption suggests ransoming or release by a payment of ransom, by payment of a ransom. Previously, people had been held in bondage to sin, but this was no longer the case. Believers were now set free. They were released by payment of a ransom, and the payment was Christ's own blood. You and I are no longer in bondage to sin. We have been set free because Jesus paid the price for our sins. For us has been supplied by the translators in order to complete the idea implied by the context, and you can tell it's been supplied because it has been placed in italics. Next, in verses 13 and 14, we see that Christ's offering will cleanse believers' consciences from dead works and enable them to serve the living God. Verses 13 and 14 form a conditional sentence. The condition, which for sake of discussion, is assumed to be true, and it is expressed in verse 13. And it is true. And the conclusion of this conditional sentence is expressed in verse 14. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. Verse 13 is speaking of the sacrificial system under the law in the Old Testament. For is explanatory, it's understood in the sense of now. Inasmuch as the condition in verse 13 is actually true, if is understood in the sense of because, since, or inasmuch as. We can go back and look at that and substitute because where the if is. For if the blood of bulls and goats, understand it as for because the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. What is true is that the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. The blood of bulls and of goats is the blood which comes from bulls and goats when they are sacrificed, and the blood is then sprinkled on the altar. Now, they didn't just draw some blood from these animals. They killed the animals and they took the blood from them. The ashes of an heifer would come as the result of burning that heifer as a burnt offering. Sprinkling the unclean is sprinkling the impure ones, or sprinkling the ceremonially defiled ones. Sanctifieth is sanctifies, makes clean, or makes holy. To the purifying of the flesh is to or toward the cleansing of the flesh, the purity of the flesh, or the cleanness of the flesh. What this means is that the application of the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer to the ceremonially unclean persons did sanctify or did purify the flesh. Ceremonial defilement was removed, but the cleansing was only external. It was indeed effective, but it was only external. Verse 14 is the conclusion of the condition expressed in verse 13. Now, when the condition is true, as it is in verse 13, that indicates that the conclusion will also be true, as it is in verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Now, verse 14 is speaking of the way things are today after the crucifixion, whereas verse 13 was speaking of the way things were before the crucifixion. How much more is how much rather? Shall purge is the verb form of the word translated purifying in verse 13. And it means will cleanse, will purify, or will make clean. The subject of shall purge is the blood of Christ. It is the blood of Christ which is doing the purging, the cleansing, the purifying, or the cleaning. It is used in contrast, that is, the blood of Christ is used in contrast to the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer in verse 13. Who refers to Christ? Through the eternal Spirit refers to the Holy Spirit of God. Offered means brought or presented, and it's used of gifts and sacrifices. Through the eternal Spirit offered himself indicates that the sacrifice of Christ, which he brought to God the Father, was himself. He offered himself as a sacrifice on the cross to pay for the sins of all humanity. Did God accept his sacrifice? Yes. How do we know? God raised him from the dead to demonstrate that he had accepted that sacrifice. He offered himself without spot, indicates how Christ offered himself, and suggests unblemished or without blemish. Jesus was without spot or unblemished because he never committed a single sin. He offered himself to God, indicates that the offering was presented to God the Father. What this offering of the blood of Christ, which Christ himself made, will cleanse, will purge, or will purify is your conscience, which speaks of your moral consciousness, and it will cleanse your conscience from dead works. Your, of course, is plural and refers to the readers of the book of Hebrews. And you and I just happen to be reading the book of Hebrews, so it applies to us. Whereas in the Old Testament, the sprinkling of the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer were able to cleanse the flesh. They were not able to cleanse the conscience. However, the blood of Christ is able to cleanse the conscience and to remove the guilt produced by sin. This contrast has already been pointed out in verse 9, where it was shown that the gifts and sacrifices did not make the worshiper perfect as pertaining to his conscience. But the blood of Christ does make the conscience clean. To serve the living God modifies shall purge, and it suggests in order that he might serve the living God. All the works which the worshiper had done prior to his salvation were dead. However, once he has been saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is free in order that he might serve God. And that's where we come in. Because we have been saved by the blood of Christ, we are free to serve God. In addition, We see in verse 15 that Christ is the mediator of the new covenant, enabling those who are called to receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For this cause, he, that's Jesus, is the mediator of the New Testament or New Covenant, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, meaning the law, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. And for this cause is, and because of this, where the content of this is, that the blood of Christ cleanses the conscience from dead works, whereas the animal sacrifices under the law could only cleanse the worshipers from ceremonial defilement. He refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. Is indicates that something is a timeless truth, something which is true at all times. He is mediator. He is an arbitrator of the New Testament, indicates what Jesus mediates or arbitrates. The New Testament refers to the new covenant that has been described in Hebrews 8, 10 through 12, which is quoted from Jeremiah 31. Now, I recognize that the portion of the scriptures starting with Matthew and ending with Revelation is referred to as the New Testament, but don't confuse the two things. That is in order that, or for the purpose that, it is to be connected with they which are called might receive the promise of an eternal inheritance. That, in order that, or for the purpose that, by means of death is literally death having taken place. And it's used in the sense of having died or death having occurred. By means of death is used to show cause, time, or means. Its tense indicates that its action occurs before the action of receive, which it modifies in the Greek text. It is understood in the sense of after death occurred or after he died, or because death occurred or because he died, or by means of his death having come to pass, or by means of his having died. You see, the death of Christ was for the redemption, meaning for redemption, where redemption is simply the buying back of a slave or captive, making him free by payment of a ransom. As believers, we, you and I and others, have been set free from sin and its consequences by the death of Christ, who gave his life as a ransom in payment for our sins. He has purchased us. He has set us free. We belong to him. How can we say thank you to him better than by living the rest of our lives for him? Let's do that. Let's demonstrate our thankfulness for what Jesus has done for us by living for him. Of the transgressions that were under the first commandment or first testament indicates what the people were being redeemed from. Transgressions is oversteppings or violations of the law. That were under the first testament suggests over the first covenant or over the first testament, meaning over the law. They transgressed or crossed over the law. The law was put up as a barrier to tell them what they should not do. And they crossed over this barrier and did what they should not have done. They which are called is simply the ones who have been called, and functions as the subject of might receive. They which are called refers to their effectual call by which God the Father drew them to himself. This call is mentioned in John 6:44. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. You see, when somebody gets convicted of his sin and learns of the gospel, God draws him, if he wishes to be saved, God draws him to himself. It's something that is true of every believer. We have been effectually called by God the Father to salvation, and he drew us to himself. God the Father drew us to Christ. What they might receive is the promise of eternal inheritance. Might receive suggests they might get or they might obtain, and the promise is the pledge of eternal inheritance. This is what has been promised. In the Greek text, it is the promise of the eternal inheritance. An eternal inheritance has been promised to saved people, and Christ's death has provided the means by which this eternal promise or this eternal inheritance might be received. We learned of his death on the cross for our sins somewhere back historically, and we placed our trust in him as our Savior, and we received this eternal inheritance. Now, we don't have everything involved in it yet, but we certainly have God's commitment to it. Finally, as we move into verses 16 through 23, we see that this necessitated Christ's death by the shedding of his blood to dedicate the new covenant. Although this section runs through verse 23 in today's message, we will only take time to consider verses 16 through 18, and we will leave the rest of this chapter until next time. The writer's line of reasoning continues in verse 16. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For is used in the sense of now. Where a testament is suggests where a last will and testament is. My guess is that many of you, if not all of you adults, have a last will and testament. And as long as you are still alive, you can change that last will and testament if you choose to. Okay? If you don't have one, the state will tell your heirs how your things get divided up, and you may not like that. Actually, they'll get a good portion of it. That's not what I want for my family. But as long as I'm alive, my will has no validity. But when I die, it becomes valid. And the family is obligated, I know there are ways of breaking things, but the family is obligated to enforce it. Where a last will and testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. It indicates that the last will and testament of an individual is only a piece of paper until the individual who made it dies. When he dies, his last will and testament becomes valid, legal, and binding. But until he dies, he's free to change it. But once he dies, it is put in force. There must of necessity be, is simply, it is necessary that there be. It is unavoidable that there be, or simply, there must be. The death of the testator is the death of the one who has made a will, or the death of the one who is disposing of his property by means of a will. And what is necessary is that the person who made the will must die. This means that the death of the testator must be born, must be uttered, must be announced, or must be established. You know, if they can't establish the person's dead, the will is still not valid. What does it take, 7 years? Something like that to establish the death of that person? And then he may not actually be dead. Sometimes people disappear, don't they? Verse 17 explains the reason there must also of necessity be the death of the testator, as is indicated by or introduced by 4. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. A testament is a last will and testament, as indicated by the italics. Is has been supplied by the translators. It is implied in the context. Of force means literally firm or permanent, and it's used as a legal technical term with last will and testament, meaning valid. Hence it is saying that the last will and testament is valid after men are dead or over dead ones. Otherwise means because, since, or for. It has no strength at all. It is never or not at any time strong or powerful, and is used as a legal technical term, meaning it is never or not at any time valid. It never has or does not at any time have meaning or validity while the testator liveth. It's when or while the one making a will is still living, still lives, or is still alive, or when or while the one disposing of his property by a will is still living, still lives, or still alive. In other words, while the person who has made his last will and testament is still alive, the document carries no force. It's merely a piece of paper, and he's free to change it if he so desires. However, upon his death, this document becomes legally binding, and people are obligated to enforce his will, whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. Whereupon is for which reason? Therefore, or hence, and refers to the fact that a last will and testament does not have force or validity until the one who made the will dies. Neither is not even the first testament or the first covenant refers to the law. It is in contrast to the new covenant. Was dedicated. The first testament was dedicated means has been dedicated with a solemn rite or has been inaugurated without blood. Now, neither goes with without blood. It suggests without death, caused by the shedding of an animal's blood. The fact that the first testament or first covenant was not dedicated without blood means that the First Testament was dedicated with blood. Blood was not merely drawn from a live animal. The animal had to be slain, and its blood was then used in the dedication of the law. The blood was obtained by killing the animal, by shedding its blood. Death had to come by shedding the animal's blood rather than by some other means, and the First Testament, the law, was dedicated with this blood. Now, the implication of this is that the Second Covenant will also be dedicated with blood. But this time, the blood is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The New Covenant has been dedicated. It was dedicated by the shedding of the Lord Jesus Christ's blood on that cross at Calvary. Now, to summarize where we've been in this message, if you're able to follow it, we've seen that in contrast to the high priests of the Levitical system, Christ is the high priest of things to come, which pertain to the new covenant and heavenly sanctuary. Accordingly, he entered once into the sanctuary and obtained eternal redemption for believers. Christ has obtained eternal redemption for you and for me when he died on that cross. We've also seen that his offering will cleanse the believers' consciences from dead works and enable them to serve the living God. Yes, I know we've committed sin, but my conscience is clear because Christ's shedding his blood has paid for that sin. Now, it bothers me that I committed that sin and caused the suffering of the Lord Jesus, but my conscience has been cleansed. In addition, we've seen that Christ is the mediator of the new covenant, enabling those who are called to receive the promise of eternal inheritance. We have an eternal inheritance. It's incorruptible, it's undefiled, it does not fade away, and it's reserved in heaven for us who are believers. You may not ever receive any other inheritance, but you've got this one coming your way if you're a saved person. Finally, we've also seen that this necessitated his death by the shedding of his blood to dedicate the new covenant. Next time, we will continue with verses 19 through 28. Where we will see that Christ has now entered into the very presence of God to appear on behalf of believers. There he is, in the presence of God, appearing there for you and for me, having been once for all time offered to bear the sins of many. And we are thankful for what he's done for us. Let's go ahead and pray. Our Father, thank you for what you have done for us in sending the Lord Jesus to die on the cross and pay for our sins. Thank you that he has cleansed the conscience. Thank you that we can know that we are in a right relationship with you because of what he has done for us on that cross at Calvary. And help us to stay right by confessing sin as we commit it. Bless these dear folks. Thank you for each one. Meet the needs in Jesus' name. Amen.